Lord's Supper, communion, bread and cup, the Mass. It's known by different terms, basically depending upon where you were brought up, what your spiritual background is. But it is a very important aspect of our Christian lives. 49 years of doing what I do, I have celebrated bread and cup hundreds of times. This will be my last time. Not to take of the bread and cup, don't get me wrong, but to be in this place to celebrate and to worship. Is there anything else that could be added? Is there one more thing? That's what I've been trying to get across to you in these days, is if I were just to come up with one more thing that I would want you to know or I'd want you to focus on, what would it be? And some might think, and I even thought at first glance, that there's really nothing, there's not one more thing about bread and cup that could be added to what the Scripture says. And that's where I'm wrong. Because you know as well as I do that when you come before the Lord's presence at the table, when you take the bread and the cup and you eat and drink, that there is always something else to learn. There is always something else to focus on. And so I want to share with you just one more thing. In reading and discovering and digging into all the sources that are available, I've gone through and discovered some things that I wish I'd known years ago. It made things much more meaningful. But that's the past. We live in the present and we look toward the future. But there are some things that invigorate me, that encourage me, that I want to pass along to you as we prepare to take a most important meal, the meal that Jesus gave us, if you will. The opportunity to say through something that we do, not just something that we say we do, but something, some action that we take. The words are very, very important. And we've covered some of this ground before, but if there was just one more thing I'd want you to know before I step away, it would be that from now on, whenever you take, whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink from this cup, that you remember not just what Jesus said when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," but you remember what this observance is really all about. It is no mistake that there is more than one passage that describes when Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. It's found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. You turn to Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 20. Those three gospels, three of our four, say exactly the same thing when Jesus met with his followers that night. Then it's in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 25, where Paul the Apostle, he was not there during that memorial supper, the Passover, when Jesus took the bread and the cup and asked his disciples to take it again. He had to take it from other sources. But it's no mistake that when he wrote to the church at Corinth in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, guess what? He says the very same thing, the very same words, down to the syllable. Saying. And then you jump back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, where Jesus has risen from the dead and he is on the road to a village called Emmaus, and he strikes up a conversation with two people, Cleopas and a companion, most likely perhaps even his wife, it could have been. But these two people were just astounded that Jesus didn't understand and know what had gone on in Jerusalem in these past days. Of course, Jesus was waiting for the moment to reveal himself to them, and he did. And when Jesus revealed himself to those two in their home, They thought they were inviting a stranger in, but it turned out that he was the host and they were the guests. But when Jesus spoke the words, the very same words that are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and 1 Corinthians, they appear again. The words are so important. If there is a preeminent New Testament scholar in this world today, his name is N.T. Wright. You may have never heard of him, and that's okay. He doesn't write to just make money on books, but he writes because he has an overflow of spiritual knowledge to give concerning, yes, the scriptures, but in particular the New Testament. Anything I can get a hold that's written by him, I will get a hold of it and I will read it. And this is what he said about what we're about to do. He said, the only way I could cope with the daily demands of my life was to celebrate bread and cup on a daily basis. I could lay all my puzzles and problems symbolically before God and find them not removed, but reshaped in the pattern of Jesus. What we do periodically. N.T. Wright feels compelled to do it every single day, on his own, most likely, gathering with God's people at other times. But this meal that we take today, we don't do every Sunday. We could, but we don't. We do it periodically. We do it, I hope, in a way that it doesn't become trivial. It doesn't become just a ritual. It doesn't just become something that we do for the sake of fulfilling some words in the Bible, but that it actually makes a difference in how we think, how we live. The words are so important. We need to remember the words of the Passover as we prepare to take these elements today. For when Jesus met with his disciples that Thursday evening of Easter week, we call it, he will be betrayed later that evening. He will go to a cross and he will be nailed to that cross at 9 o'clock the following Friday morning. And he will come out of the grave on Sunday morning, 3 days later, the scripture says. But it's that Passover, that Thursday night, when his disciples gathered to take a meal that they did every year. Every year they were with Jesus, and they, as good Jews, did it every year that they could remember because they were brought up to be at the table on Passover. And everything about that meal looked back at God's deliverance of the people of Israel, of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt, the book of Exodus. That's what Passover is all about, and it is very significant. And that's why Jews to this day celebrate it every year. Jesus did the same. But then his words changed. The words of the Passover that were carefully scripted in the Old Testament call for children to have a part, call for the matriarch and the patriarch of the family to say words. But the most important words in the Passover is, Father, why do we do these things? Why do we eat this bread that is unleavened? Why do we eat these herbs that are so bitter? Why do we take this cup? Why? And it was all because it was looking back to when God said, let my people go, and Pharaoh did. And that's something to celebrate, yes. But Jesus changed it. He turned it inside out, upside down. He changed its meaning completely. That bread became a symbol of his body broken for us. That wine became a symbol of his blood shed for us that we've been singing about. The words of the Passover, significant. The words of Jesus, significant. And this is what we want to watch for. When I said all those passages say it the same way every time, verbatim. Four statements. Jesus took bread. Jesus help me here. Blessed bread. Jesus broke the bread. And finally, Jesus gave the bread. Say them with me. Jesus took the bread. Jesus blessed the bread. Jesus broke the bread. Jesus gave the bread. Let those words never, ever fade in your memory. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Those four words, four statements. Jesus took the bread. Think of it in this way. It wasn't the product of grain. It wasn't the grape. It was the bread. And it was the wine. What does it mean? Pagan practices, pagan sacrifices all the time went to the fruit of the earth. But this is not the fruit of the earth alone, is it? It has our input. It is our making. It is our turning grapes into the fermented wine. It is our taking the bread and making it, not just grain, but making it bread. It is what God created, but it's our participation in it as well. Jesus took the bread. He also blessed it. Is it wrong to pray a blessing over an inanimate, non-living object? It's so appropriate here for what it represents. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for what this meal means to us this day. And Father, we ask that you take this bread and you take this cup, and as we eat and as we drink, draw us closer to you. And all God's people said, amen. So he took the bread, he blessed the bread, but he broke it. This goes back, you remember, Passover? What was it all about? It was about the children of Israel being ready to go, to run, to flee, to take the deliverance that God offered and to live it out. And so they couldn't take time to bake the bread the way they normally would. No yeast, no leaven, but unleavened, flat bread. This bread right here. It's unmistakable. This is what they used back then. Nothing wrong with us taking the bread that we have that's available. My goodness, to take bread and cup with paper cups and water and crackers, there's nothing wrong with that because of what it means. But perhaps, just maybe, in the silence of that upper room that Passover night, when the mouths of the disciples were shut because they didn't understand what was going on, because they didn't like what they were hearing. Jesus was saying words that they'd never heard at the Passover. But most of all, they listened and they heard. They heard a broken body, bones snapping, pain. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Jesus took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And then he gave it. He gave it to his disciples. He gives it to us. And what's the underlying symbolism here? That what God gives to us, we must what? We must receive. We must accept. That's what this decision of following Jesus is all about. It's knowing what he did for us. It's knowing that he gave his all for us. It's knowing that his body was broken for us. And it's saying, Lord, thank you. thank you for this gift. It's punishment that I alone deserve, but thank you for salvation. I have prayed about it. I have seen it. I have heard it. And now I take it and make it my own. So, this is not the easiest thing to deal with. I wish it could be another way, but it is what it is. If you take the top layer of the cellophane, you will reveal the bread. If you will take it, hold it in your hand, hold it forth. And as we have been instructed to do by Jesus, remembering what he did on the cross, let us take and let us eat. He took a cup also when he had given thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. We could easily say that Jesus went through the same four sentences, four phrases when it came to the cup. No doubt it was intended. But we take it, and as we peel back and reveal the ultimate symbol of sacrifice, his blood, let us take and let us eat, drink. God never speaks without giving us the opportunity to respond. And it could be through revisiting something we thought we had heard time after time after time. Maybe today, maybe the message of what these elements, what bread and cup really are all about, maybe now it's pierced through to your heart. Maybe now it dawns upon you that you need a Savior. And so we can't leave this place without offering an invitation, an opportunity for us to respond. If you're here today, and having watched what we have done, having understood now what this means, I invite you to receive what God offers, salvation. Trusting Jesus, who died that we might live. So we ask you to respond with obedience, and let us encourage you, let us pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, you just never told anyone, never publicly stated your love and discipleship of Jesus. Do that today. We've seen these baptized of their own choosing today. A powerful symbol. If there are two things that we do as Baptists, it's bread and cup and believer's baptism. We feel that those things are commands that God has given to us. And that's why we take them seriously. So if following him in believer's baptism is something you want to do, have considered doing, want to visit about, then come forward. Maybe you're looking for a place to call your own, a church where you can belong. Living the Christian life is not done in a vacuum. We know that. It's not done solo. It's not anything other than joining with a family and finding encouragement in the midst of broken people, finding encouragement. What a paradox. Finding encouragement in the midst of people who seldom seem to get things right. But as we stumble our way through life, we catch a glimpse of the cross, don't we? Because that's where we've really ended up today. That's what this bread and cup, that's what they've drawn us to. Not to a table for table's sake, but to a cross where Jesus died that we might live. So if being a part of a church family is something you want to do, step out and join with us today. For many of us, I hope this hadn't been just Lord's Supper again. I hope it's something you can build upon, something that you will never, ever forget. We stand, we wait, you respond as God leads.